From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Patty White with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, July 19th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Airlines are slowly resuming operations today after a global IT outage forced many flights at the Portland International Jetport to be delayed or canceled. Nicola Grisco reports.
The crowds were beginning to dissipate by about 9:30 in the morning, but there were still some signs of disruption. Some of the screens throughout the jetport that usually display digital ads showed a blue error message instead. Aruna Chakravarti had been visiting her son and grandchildren in Maine. She says her United flight to Washington, D.C. was delayed by about 2 or 3 hours.
I guess the system is down, so they were unable to update us anyway, and I was told I'm on time, and I'm not.
Jetport officials say airport systems are working. Most flights are delayed as the airlines work to get their systems back online. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicola Grisco.
A summer wave of COVID is seeing high viral activity levels in more than 24 states, including Maine. The latest wastewater surveillance data from the U.S. CDC shows that Maine's viral activity is slightly below the national average, but higher than the regional average in the Northeast. Dr. Terry Vaugh, director of the Maine CDC, says the summer uptick follows the pattern of previous years.
One of the contributing factors likely is that folks are indeed traveling, right, across the U.S., and including here in Maine.
She says people with compromised immune systems and those 65 and older should consider vaccination if they haven't received a dose since last fall. She says the vaccine also reduces the risk of developing long COVID. Today is the deadline for a contest to design a new state flag for Maine voters to consider this November. And state officials say the contest drew hundreds of proposals. Kevin Miller reports.
Voters will decide this fall whether to keep Maine's current flag, featuring the state seal, on a blue background, or revert back to the original version, often referred to as the pine tree flag. That design from 1901, which features a green pine tree and a blue star against a buff background, has exploded in popularity over the past few years. But with so many subtle variations out there, Secretary of State Shenna Bellows launched a design contest last month asking Mainers to submit their proposals. Bellows says that as of Friday morning, her office had already received more than 350 entries.
I think this is a really fun opportunity for Mainers to engage in something that is fairly low stakes, but still important. The symbols that represent us as a state are something that unites us, and it's a fun conversation and debate that is free of partisanship or rancor.
Bellows says a group of advisors will recommend a small group of finalists, although she plans to look at every entry. She then plans to unveil a proposed design in August, giving voters a few months to decide before the November referendum. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
The Peaks Island to Portland Swim returns tomorrow. It's the first time since the pandemic that the fundraising event has been held. Erwin Gratz reports.
The 2.4-mile swim will begin at 8:30 Saturday morning next to the Peaks Island Ferry Pier. It ends at East End Beach. The swim has a history that reaches back to the early 20th century. In recent years, hundreds have taken part, from elite swimmers to people up for a challenge. The greatest challenge is probably the cold water of Casco Bay, but it hasn't been the only challenge. In 1946, as swimmers approached East End Beach, there was a huge explosion aboard the oil tanker Diamond Island, which was anchored not far away. The blast killed 2 crew members and injured 3 others. None of the 17 swimmers were hurt. Erwin Gratz, Maine Public Radio News.
Members of Lewiston's Somali community are mourning the death of 17-year-old Sahal Maridi, whose body was found Sunday night by police who were responding to a 911 call reporting that shots had been fired. The incident is part of what police say is an uptick in violence across the city, and there are fears that young Somali Americans are getting swept up in it. Ari Snyder reports.
Zachariah Aiden grew up in Lewiston and was a longtime family friend of Sahal Maridi. Aiden says the two had been especially close since middle school. They would hang out, play basketball. For a while, they worked the same shift at Taco Bell. Aiden says Maridi had a quiet and uplifting presence and pushed his peers to dream bigger.
He always made me want to be, like, doing the best at what I'm doing every time.
Little is known about what actually happened leading up to Maridi's death. The medical examiner's office is withholding autopsy information per orders of the state attorney general, as the case is still under investigation. Aiden says growing up, he never questioned whether it was safe to walk around town or to go meet up with friends at the park. Now he says shootings have become more common and he thinks twice before going out.
Is this today the right day to go? Because you don't want to get caught up wrong place, wrong time.
The weekend of Maridi's death, Lewiston police responded to two other reports of gunfire in town, part of a broader trend of increased gun violence in the area, a trend that concerns many within the Somali community.
You have to wait for a few minutes. She's gonna call, okay?
Okay.
At the office of Maine Immigrant and Refugee Services downtown, Executive Director Rilwan Osman is greeting a gaggle of clients.
This is a crisis, and everywhere in the country, having access to some of these guns where they can easily get it on the street is the biggest concern.
In the months before his death, Sahal Maridi was a youth mentor here, and Osman says as a new generation grows up steeped in American culture, there is increased anxiety about seeing them getting swept up in gun violence. It's especially troubling for many parents in the community who came to the U.S., and Lewiston in particular, seeking safety.
The reason why we're here, a lot of us are here, is because of gun violence in our home country. And definitely parents don't want anything to do with that.
We can't keep living in this constant cycle, like something needs to happen.
Amran Osman, no relation to Rilwan, runs Generational NOR, an organization focused on youth mental health and substance abuse issues. She's organizing a community meeting slated for next week with the goal of including more youth perspectives in conversations around gun violence. She says she wants to move swiftly while attention is still focused on Sahal Maridi's death.
Youth are not having the mental health resources where they're able to talk about what they're going through, and they're able to understand that, like, okay, these guns are not going to help you.
For now, Maridi's friends say they are still trying to process his passing. 17-year-old Ahmed Aiden says losing Maridi was like losing a sibling.
He made me feel like a brother. He made me feel loved. He made me feel like someone that got someone there.
Aiden says he and Maridi had been planning to launch a podcast together to discuss current affairs. He says one of the key issues Maridi wanted to focus on was gun violence in Lewiston. The first recording session was supposed to be this week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 Monday morning, Maine's housing crisis and how repurposing old buildings could help. I'm Patty White. Thanks for listening.